dismiss our children to children's church, those fifth grade and below. I ask you to find your Bibles, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Today in our story, we're going to hear about a little trip on the water. And the title of this message is Fear or Faith. So as we look at that, oftentimes what we look to most often is fear. We may fear a lot of things, but we need to recognize that God's in control. He's not surprised. So Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, they read like this. One day, he and his disciples got into a boat, and he told them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake, and they were being swamped and were in danger. They came and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to die." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, so that they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, asking one another, "Who can this be? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's heard. Father, I pray, Lord, the preparation and the presentation be honoring and glorifying to your name. Father, if there's one here that does not know your Son, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would prick their hearts and they'd come to know your Son, Jesus, as their Savior. Father, if there's a believer here that's had a lot of struggles and a lot of life that brings fears, Father, I pray, Lord, that they'd turn to you in faith, giving you complete and total control of their lives. I pray now, Lord, again, if you'd be with us as we go through this morning's message, may your name be honored and glorified, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the question I want to ask us this morning is what should we learn from these scriptures? There's several things that we look at, but as I've already shared with you, our focus, the one thing that we're going to look at is fear must be turned into faith. Fear must be turned into faith. So let me ask you the question, how many of you here have had fear of something? Well, we all have. We've all had great fears. Maybe it's fear of a big dog, or maybe it's a fear of the dark, or maybe it's a fear of being late, or maybe it's a fear of being early. I don't know. Maybe it's a fear of making ends meet, a fear of bringing the music in on the right time. That's all right, brother. God knew what he was doing. Somebody needed to hear it again. Too often we allow these fears to overwhelm us when God's in control. He's not surprised by anything, and he will accomplish his purposes for those who love him. He has a plan for each and every heart and each and every life, but too often we allow fear, we allow peer pressure to influence us more than we do than our faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe we have a storm in our life and that we're afraid of. We have this fear over it. We've not yet turned it over to Jesus. This morning, I hope through the message you will recognize and realize that we need to turn our storms of life over to Jesus. And in faith, hold to the fact that he's going to keep you where you need to be. Hold to the fact that he's going to see you through what you may be facing. Hold to the fact that he loves you, irregardless of the circumstance you may be facing. So I want to tell you a little story about my wife and her fear. And she's shaking her head already. But when we first got married, it was very quick that I recognized that she has a fear of storms. Now, I'm talking about the thunderstorms and the lightning and rain and all this stuff going on. Because we lived in a single-wide trailer right behind the cemetery here next to Roger. And when it sprinkled, it sounded like the roof was about to cave in. So it was kind of fearful in itself. Let me tell you a little bit about my life. Now, as a child, when it rained hard, we were in the storm pit at Pawpaw Gnarls. When it rained, we were in a storm pit at Pawpaw Gnarls. When the storms came or when the winds got up, we were in the storm pit at Pawpaw Gnarls. When there was weather outside, we was in the storm pit at Pawpaw Gnarls. I was being honest with you. So my life through circumstances, I do have a respectful fear, yes, but it takes Greg a little bit longer to become unnerved for about the weather than it does Paige. So anyhow, after we first married, maybe we'd been married a year or so, and it come up this storm, and it was raining, and it got harder and harder, and she was ready to go to her dad's, wanted to make sure everything was safe, and I said, no, it's all right, let's just wait it out, and so it got harder and harder. We had this little deck on the front of it, maybe 10 foot, and you couldn't hardly see the end of the deck, and all these things were happening, and she was afraid, and it got me a little unnerved because of her being afraid, and then it happened. We saw this light coming. I'm thinking, is it Jesus? This light's coming. Is a storm coming upon us? And then she screams, Daddy's come to get us. Because Roger drove up. And I'll just be honest with you. I was glad for that blue Chevy truck to drive up, pick us up. Because the storm on the inside was probably a little bit worse than it was on the outside. Because I wasn't listening to the fears that she had. We all have them. Every one of us. We have these fears in life, things that grab our attention. Today we're going to look at some of the similarities that we have with the disciples. Too often, as we see in these scriptures, they overlooked what they had been told. Too often, we overlook what we've been told. You see, in life, or in these scriptures, and in life today, Jesus teaches us not to allow our surroundings to determine our faith. Jesus calls for us to have faith in Him in spite of our circumstances, in special recognition of the circumstances, to trust and rely upon Him in faith. He's got our back. No matter what that may be, whether it's a storm or a peer pressure by something, or whatever is in your life, a fear that you have, a fear of falling again, a fear of whatever. In faith, we need to trust that God's in control and we can turn to Him. No matter where we've been, what we've done, what circumstance we've been involved in, maybe we shouldn't have been, He still loves us and He still cares where we're at, right here and right now. He still cares where He wants for us to be in God's plan for your life and for mine. He has all these things in our lives that He wants to accomplish. But too often we allow fear to get in the way. We allow self to dictate where we are, where we need to be, instead of our faith in a God that's in control. Because too often what we're guilty of recognizing is that Jesus is in control. You see, the disciples, he did not get on to the disciples for not having any faith. He rebuked the disciples because they didn't have much faith. Their faith was not growing. And we'll see that a little bit closer as we move forward through the message this morning. Big picture, today we need to discover that we can release our fears because we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. And we can release our fears by having faith in Jesus Christ and what He's accomplished. Not what I can do, not what Greg can do, not what you can do, but because what He can do and what He has done. We can release our fears and give Him control. So the first fill in the blank in your bulletin that you have one, what should my faith in Christ look like? Number one, faith is resting in the person of Christ. Faith is resting in the person of Christ. The faith that prevents fear is the faith that rests in Jesus. The faith that prevents fear is the faith that rests in Jesus. This is exactly what Jesus wanted His disciples to do. He wanted them to rest in Him. He wanted them to depend upon Him during the dangerous times that they were facing, during the struggles that they were going through. He wanted them to rest in Him. He wanted them to remember His instructions, His promises, His love. He wanted them to remember who He was in that they've seen it first and foremost in everyday life as they traveled with him. You see, God gives us moms and dads. Thank God for our parents. God gives us grandparents who are there with us and for us. They spoil us and send us along our way back to mom and dad, you might say. God gives us our spouse. God gives us friends to gather with. God gives us a church to worship him and to help carry the burdens of life upon. God gives us one another. Each of these have great importance, but none of them are essential unless we put Christ first in our lives. We must have Jesus Christ first and foremost in our lives. If we leave Jesus out of the equation, if we do not allow Jesus to be central in our lives, we're missing the abundant blessings of all these things that I mentioned about earlier. We were missing exactly what parents and grandparents and family and brothers and sisters in Christ is all about if Jesus is not central to our message, if Jesus is not central to our actions. We need to have faith and trust, faith and resting in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is more than all these listed and combined. Too often, here's what we do. We act as if we as Christians have committed to something that's not able to do what he says he can do. Too often as Christians, that's exactly what we've done. We've committed to Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of sharing Jesus Christ. But does our life and lifestyle point to the truth that Jesus is who he says he is? Now, if the two do not line up, then we're missing the mark. Let me tell you something. We're all sinners. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. Don't take me wrong. But our life and our lifestyle should say, my trust, my faith is in Jesus and the person who he is and what he accomplished upon the cross. I'm going to have faith in him in spite of my circumstances because he loves me that much. And he wants for us to be in obedience to him and follow after him. He came to, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We neglect to remember what John 3:17 says, for I did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Jesus knows you're a sinner. He knows you're made of dust. He knows you make mistakes, and he loves you anyway. And we need to have faith in the person that Christ is, the person that he came to reveal to us, and his love for us, his desire to see us change, his desire to not leave us where we are in the middle of our sinfulness, in the middle of our shortcomings, his desire to make us better, not by what we can do, but by what he has done in his death, burial, and resurrection. So the big picture we must not miss in this story this morning is not the inadequate faith of the disciples or us, but the fact that Jesus is adequate in any and every circumstance. Jesus is adequate in any and every circumstance. This is how our faith grows, by seeking to rest in the person of Jesus Christ. Number two, and you're filling the blank, what should my faith in Christ look like? Faith is resting in the promise of Christ. Faith is resting in the promise of Christ. So first, faith is resting in the person of Christ. Now faith is resting in the promise of Christ. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty simple to rest in his promises. Jesus promises all these things, so I will have faith that he will keep his promises. As we see in our scriptures, the disciples missed the promise that Jesus gave. Luke 8:22. One day, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he told them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. So they set out. They're very anxious to set out, but when opposition comes, they were ready to give up. They let the fear overtake them instead of faith in what Jesus said. We're going to the other side of the lake, Greg. Let's go. Whatever it may be in your life that God has called for you to do and called for you to accomplish, how much does our life look like that? We know that God has given us a call, whatever it may be. It may be to cross the lake. It may be to mow a yard. It may be to teach a class. It may be to start a class. It may be whatever God instructs for you to do, whatever task God has given for you to do. And we get started. We're excited about it. We tell others about it. And then opposition comes, and we throw the towel in. It's exactly what the disciples said. And what did Jesus say? I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. Don't do that. Where is your faith? I gave you a task to do, so do it. Again, he's not condemning them because they didn't have any faith. He's rebuking them because they didn't have faith that he's going to keep his promise. God doesn't start anything that he does not finish. Philippians 1:6 shares with us. Let me turn to it real quick so I do not butcher up. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Give me just a second to get there. Maybe I'll get there quickly. Philippians 1:6 says this. If I can read it. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. When you surrender to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, God did not save you to abandon you. He saved you to walk with you. He saved you to be your God, for you to be his people. He saved you to accomplish that task that he's given you to do. I, Greg Gnarl, do not know what it is. I can see some of your many talents and gifts that all of you have. Only God and you know what that is. But whatever task God has given for you to do, do it well. Do it well. Because if he's given you a task to do, he intends to complete it. God is not like us and procrastinates. He accomplishes the task he sets out to do. Now, it may take some time. It may not be in our timing. Just ask Abraham. It took 25 years for the child of promise to come. Because Abraham had to get ready to be the father that God wanted him to be. God had to work in his life. But when God sets you out on a task, do it. Be actively pursuing it. Stop taking the side roads that get you into trouble, like Greg does on occasion. Keep that straight and narrow path towards Jesus. Have faith and listen to his promises, because he keeps his promises. So what are some of these promises that God gives us? By no means is this exhaustive. This is just it's not even the tip of the iceberg, but I want to just share a few of the promises that God gives us. Deuteronomy 31:6 and Hebrews 13:5 says this, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. What a promise that we should hold on to. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. Amen. Because when life comes and it's tough, we don't know how to fight. We have his word, we're called to fight, but the Lord will fight for us. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a commander-in-chief that knows the right paths to take and knows the right people to place us around and the right people to place around us? God's in control. If we will just seek him instead of saying, oh, woe is me, I'm in all this situation, I have this fear, have faith that God will keep his promises and he will complete the task he's set out to accomplish through you. He will fight for you. James 1:5. Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. In other words, if you want some wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you without criticizing. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise. When we mess up, he's going to forgive us if we will repent and turn from our messing up and turn to him. Turn from our fear to faith in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19, probably one of my favorite ones. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If you need something, God will supply it for you. Not won't, but if you need something, God's going to supply it for you. He's not going to put you on an island and leave you by yourself. He's going to supply everything that you need. Every item that you need. John 3:16, I've already said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. To believe in him, we have everlasting life. Hope to be in with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We reject him, we live a life in hell separated from him. That's our choice. That's our choice. So we need to be resting in the promises of Christ. God gives us these promises. We choose which one we're going to take. So what happens next? What happens next? Listen to this. Faith makes much of the promises of God, but fear forgets them. Have you ever noticed that when we're in the presence of God and our faith is strong, we remember these promises? But when we're in fear and we're in rejection and we're away from God, what do we start doing? Me, myself, and I. Why am I facing this path? Why am I going down this road? Why am I here? And we neglect to have faith that God's got a plan. Now, our bad choices takes us down a lot of roads that we don't need to be down. But here's the faith we should have, that He can free us from those bondages. That He can correct us in the middle of our wrong choices. That He can get us back on the right path where we need to be. That's the promises that we've been given through Him. So let me share this with you. It's a song many of you have probably heard. It's called Fear, He is a Liar. Just listen to the words of this song. When He told you you're not good enough. When He told you you're not right. When He told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. When He told you you're not worthy. When He told you you're not loved. When He told you you're not beautiful, that you'll ever and never be enough. Fear, He is a liar. He will take your breath. He will stop you in your steps. Fear, He is a liar. He will rob your rest and steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire, cause fear, He is a liar. When He told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. When He told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When He told you you were dirty and that you should be ashamed. When He told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Fear, He is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, He is a liar. He will rob you of your rest and steal your happiness. Cast your fear into the fire, because fear, He is a liar. And what a message. Because there's not a person in this room that does not face life and have fears in them. But we have somebody who has overcome the world. We don't need to listen to fear. He's a liar. Satan is fear. Satan wants you to fear and stop in the middle of your tracks and go no farther. Jesus says, take my hand and I'll walk you through it, or I'll carry you the rest of the way. Amen. Trust and abide in me and rely upon me. Don't listen to fear. He's a liar. He will mislead you and take you down a path that you don't need to go down. You have responsibilities, but keeping these promises is not your responsibilities. These promises we just talked about and read in Scripture, they're not your responsibility. Guess whose they are? They're God's. God didn't make a promise and think, Greg's got to keep it or you've got to keep it. God made a promise and He said, I will keep it. I will take care of it. I will work out the details. But we do have responsibilities. In faith, we have to trust in Him. In faith, we have to let Him have the responsibility that's already His anyhow. We need to give Him our all, give Him our life, and stop making excuses and stop avoiding and start running to Jesus Christ. Allowing Him to be Lord of our life. Number three, and you're filling the blanks. What should my faith in Christ look like? Faith is resting in the performance of Christ. So faith is resting in the person. Faith is resting in what Jesus accomplished in the promises. Faith is also resting in the performances of Christ. The most disturbing portion of this story is the disciples were taught, and we're taught, that we should learn is this. Unbelief is more dangerous than the storm. Unbelief is more dangerous than the storm. The storm may have toppled their boat. The storm may have demolished their boat. The storm may have been like a Titanic. I don't know. But here's what could have happened. In their unbelief, if they had rejected Jesus, where would their eternity have been? It'd have been a separation from God. An eternity in a place called hell because they rejected Jesus. Unbelief is more dangerous than the storm. Unbelief is more dangerous than the storm. Now imagine for a moment being these disciples. Many of them were fishermen. It's not like this is the first time they'd ever been on the lake. And I'll just about assure you, if you're on the lake for any amount of time, you're going to have a storm come up. So my thinking is this. This is probably not the first storm they had seen on the lake. And what grabs my attention is this. They were scared. They've been on the lake time and time and time and time again. But they neglected to have faith. What is going on? I'm not sure that this ties in, but when they get to the other side, what do? Jesus cast out demons. Let me tell you something. Life is a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against ruler of this world. His name is Satan. I don't think Satan wanted them to get to the other side, for Jesus cast out them demons into the swine. I think here's what Jesus wanted to accomplish was that, yes. But Satan said, no, no, and he was pushing back. That's exactly in our life what happens. When we follow after Jesus, we get on the boat, and those circumstances come. Satan's pushing back against Craig. He's pushing back against you. He wants you to stop. And oftentimes, he's very successful because we tuck tail and run. Fear, he is a liar. And we need to have faith that rests in the performance of Christ. What do I mean by this? Listen to the disciples, what happened in their lives before this storm took place. Luke 5, 12 through 16, Jesus healed a leper. Luke 5, 17 through 26, Jesus healed a paralytic. Luke 7, 1 through 10, Jesus healed a centurion servant. Luke 7, 11 through 17, Jesus raised a dead boy to life. Jesus is pretty amazing. And they had saw his performance. But they still cowered down and were fearful. They listened to fear instead of Christ. Why am I telling you all this? Jesus used every opportunity to grow his disciples in faith. He may have arranged it. He may have allowed it. But he used every opportunity to grow his disciples in faith. I'll tell you a little secret. You read the rest of the story in the New Testament, they turned the world upside down for Jesus. They shared the gospel with others. It took some growing pains. It took some growing. It took their faith growing. Yes. But they were all in. Did they keep making mistakes? Yes. You read about Paul and Peter having a little argument. They were Christians. They were following. They were accomplishing great things. But there's still friction because somebody wasn't listening to what God wanted them to do. We're going to make mistakes. God knows that. He has a story to tell. And he wants to tell that story through you. You see, they had all these things that were happening. But we today, we have an advantage over the disciples. And you say, wait a minute. They were with Jesus. Well, let me share something with you. They didn't have all of God's Word completed. It's 400 AD before all of God's Word was completed. We have all the stories, Old and New Testament, the lives of ordinary people, lives of sinful people who Jesus accomplished much through their lives because they in faith turned to Him. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. But they had faith. So we have a lot of these performances right here in front of us. That's the first thing that we have. Second, we have Christian history. We have 2,000 plus years of people time and time again in faith, trusting God, having all these things come in their lives, and God overcoming. Read some of the missionary stories where they go to a place to tell others about Jesus, and they have all this opposition and these people that's coming against them. But they in faith they trust in God. Too often people turn and run. They just laugh about things and go on. They don't listen to what God's trying to accomplish. Are you listening to what God's trying to accomplish or not? The answer is yes or no, not maybe. 2,000 plus years of Christian history of God accomplishing much. Third thing, and we're about to close. Here's what you have. You have your testimony. Christian, You have your testimony. Nobody can take away your testimony on what Jesus did for you. How He met you on that your own personal Damascus road. You were headed away from where God wanted you to be. And Jesus met you and said, "Why persecutest me, Greg? Why not trust in me, Greg? Because I have a lot of things I want to accomplish through you, Greg. Have faith in me." That may be in the story about Paul, but that story is very real in Greg's life. It's very real in your life too. Are you fearful? Oh, they might be. I might face opposition. Somebody might not agree with me. I might not know exactly what to say. Well, so what? Speak truth. However much you know about it, speak it. Let Him live in and through you. Let Him accomplish. You accomplish nothing. Your responsibility is to tell. The Holy Spirit does the drawing, not you. If we did the drawing, we'd be flat of our face, I'll assure you. Have faith. Stop being fearful. And have faith in Christ. Rely upon Him. Trust in Him. Do not allow fear to imprison you. Allow faith in Jesus to give you freedom. John 8:32 and 8:36 both says, when you turn to Jesus, the truth will set you free. 36, when the truth sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Fear. He is a liar. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. Rely upon Him. There may be someone here this morning that's not never turned to Jesus. I want to tell you that the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And I urge you, if God's stealing your heart and life, if He's calling, knocking on your door, calling for you to come here, I urge you to come. I urge you to come. Don't wait. Don't have fear of what other people. I promise you, these people are going to rejoice and celebrate because of your decision to follow Jesus. Satan may be against you, but we're not. And I promise you, he is not. He will never leave you and never forsake you. You may be a Christian here this morning. You may have been a Christian for 6 months. You may have been a Christian for 60 years. I don't know. But I'm a firm believer this morning there's all of us that's had fears. And we may be in the middle of them right now. We don't know which way to turn, what direction to go in, what steps to take. And Jesus says, just give me your hand and let me lead the way. And it won't start until you submit. The Bible says in James chapter 4, submit to God. Step 1, resist the devil. Step 2, and the devil will flee from you. First step is submit to God. Christian, submit to God. Turn from your fears. He is a liar. Turn in faith to Jesus. See, He is the truth. The truth never changes. Won't you come? Won't you come this morning?